Are you angry? No, really. Has that one person got you fuming? Well, call them out. Now's your chance to tell them.
You know what? You just made the list.
You just made the list.
Here we go.
Let us know who's on your list. Call 615-737-1025. You just made the list. Now, on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
All right, it's therapy time here on this beautiful Friday afternoon here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. 615-737-1025. That is our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and it is time for you to get involved. And if you get involved and you have the best, you just made the list, we'll give you a $25 gift card to Nashville Underground. 615-737-1025. Who would like to start?
I'm ready.
Go.
I am ready. So remember, Darren, I think, Willie, you were doing some Pred stuff. This was back in July when we were at Bridgestone Arena for the return to play camp. And I had all the issues with my car, and I took it to the shop, and they forgot about it and all that. Remember that? Okay.
Yep.
So at that time, they said, you know, they go through and do the diagnostics, and I got everything fixed. And they said, hey, you may want to replace your battery before winter. It's getting weak. Now, I kind of went, sure, I'll get on that, I'll do that. And I haven't done that yet. And so, therefore, I am placing myself on the list because, as you know, it's gotten a little colder. Needed to run to the store this morning, and
car's
the old
dead.
Car would dead. Not start.
You just made the list!
So, that's on me for procrastinating. And not going and getting a new battery. So after the show today, I'll be going and getting a new battery for the car. But, you know, self-reporting, that's what we do on this show. I'm putting myself on the list.
Well, you don't need to drop it off and leave it for 2 days like you've had in the past.
No, no. This will be
make sure you just go on go on site and have them change it right there while you just stand there and watch. It's not that. There's many places they'll just go right out there and do it for you.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. And I can actually change my own battery. I just choose not to.
I let them do it, yeah.
Just let them do it. That's what I do.
Let them do it. Me too. And it's not because I can change it. I just let them
just
do
don't
it.
Want to.
Yeah. I would say, I don't know. I'm not questioning whether you can change a battery or not, but I just let them do it. They're the pros.
If you want to see me punt a football, just watch a replay of the Titans game. That's pretty good.
Wow. Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
Okay, so honestly, do you think you could punt 17 yards?
I have punted 17 yards.
You've got that on record?
Yes. Now, I was in high school, and I know somebody that's in studio right now is probably laughing listening to this. But when I was in high school, I did. It was probably
was
right at
net,
17.
What was your net punt?
It may have been 20.
Still better than
17.
I got a hold of one time during practice because I was bored, and so that's what I was doing. And coach turned around and he said, if you do that again, you're punting on Friday. And of course I couldn't do it again. I shanked it every time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Willie?
This one's related to the people on the list that put up the number 4 on the sideline to signify we're going to own the fourth quarter, you know, sort of the oldest thing in the book.
Mm-hmm.
The clock hits 0 at the end of the third. Everybody puts up their hand, 4.
Yep.
Well, here's one, and I'm crediting Mitch Light for this because he tweeted this out. But I'm going to put on the list everybody on the football sideline that points towards the end zone when the defense picks up a fumble or gets an interception as if the guy doesn't know which way to go. They think it's Jim Marshall from the Vikings running the wrong way, like the guy, like he did years ago. So if look on the sideline next time you see somebody pick up a fumble, everybody on the sideline points like run that way, like go. But you don't need to point toward the end zone. The guy, first of all, the guy's not looking at you, and second of all, I think the guy knows which way to go. He's running towards the end zone. So all the guys that are pointing in the direction of which way the guy's supposed to run when he gets the ball when there's a turnover.
You just made the list!
You don't need to do that.
Okay.
Very Forrest Gump-esque. Yes. Now, Forrest, maybe you did. They did have to tell Forrest which way to go, I guess.
And
remember,
he ran
straight across. He ran straight across laterally.
Ran through
and
the
then
band.
Turned like he went at a right angle. Yeah.
At the stop sign in the end zone.
Most people don't do that, though. Most people scoop and score. They know which way to go.
Guys, we've got a special appearance on our You Just Made the List. I believe this is a first for our first up here on You Just Made the List. Gina Berg from our staff, who does a wonderful job. Evidently, something has been eating at her that she would like to get out.
No, this happened yesterday. This happened yesterday at the fine
event. So
Willie
was a witness.
So if it happened yesterday, it can't be eating at her?
Well, it hasn't been eating at her for that long, but it was duly noted yesterday at a fine event, and we decided to have Gina tell this story
first. If I could read the text messages that have been relayed in the last 24 hours, I kind of feel like it's been eating at her. She's got something to say. So with that being said, Gina, the floor is yours.
Thank you. I'm just happy that I have a witness. So we were out, me and Willie were out at the groundbreaking for the new event center in Clarksville for the Preds and Austin Peay. And I was there getting social media for Twitter and all that.
I've got to be honest, you don't sound mad at all. I figured
I'm just setting the scene.
I figured it'd be a little bit more tone
in
your voice.
My sassy tone?
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay, I'll bring it up a notch.
Okay.
Okay. So.
There we go. That's good. That's what we're looking for.
So the ceremony goes on, whatever, and Ryan Porth, our program director, is there, and I'm chatting with him before the groundbreaking even begins. And then I move off on my own and I'm taking pictures and I'm actually on a raised platform. Also, I'm the only one not wearing gold or blue because I wasn't told that I needed to wear gold or blue at this event. So I'm in a green long sleeve. So I already stick out like a sore thumb, right?
Well, you were just trying to represent the Masters.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So after the whole event ends, I come back over and Ryan is talking to our GM and Willie walks over and we're talking about these masks, our station masks, and they're awesome. Everybody loves them. Preds people love them. And our GM makes a joke about, oh yeah, Gina, I'm sure they like them upside down too. And I was like, what?
Oh.
And he
no.
goes, yeah. And I was like, is my mask upside down? And he goes, yeah. And I was like, it's been like this the whole time? And he was like, yep. And I look at Ryan and I go, dude, I've been with you this whole event. And he didn't tell me. And he was like, You know how he does? He's like, oh, just pure boy. And I was like, really? Like, first of all, I already stick out like bad. Second of all, I'm representing the station, and the mask is upside down. Like, that is bad.
That's bad.
So, yeah, Ryan Porth, you're on my list.
You just made the list!
So, you said, so boy? Is that what you
yeah,
said?
Yeah, that's, like, such a guy thing to do. If it was any type of girl, she would have been like, hey, hon, you need to switch your mask around.
But I don't think that really applies because you were called out by a guy. So, Dennis...
Yeah, that's
clearly
true,
has
I guess.
Good. He has good awareness.
Yeah,
but Dennis got there later.
Like, he did.
He arrived later.
He did. Yeah.
That's even more indictment that Dennis wasn't staring at the whole time. He gets there later and still could pick up on it. But yet someone else sat there around you the whole time.
Yeah.
And Ryan couldn't figure that out. He couldn't say anything.
He couldn't. Nope.
Do you believe that he knew and chose not to say anything?
I think he had it out for me.
Yeah, that's what do you think he was sabotaging you
100%.
For the general manager?
100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I don't think you should give him that much credit because I don't think he noticed.
No, but that's what like just blows my mind. My 1025 the game mask was upside down at a Preds event. What?
Yeah. Now
and this was after this was priceless because we had just set the stage with Sean Henry yesterday.
I was gonna say, is
unsolicited.
This what do we call this? Is this the sleeve one, right? That's the one we're talking about?
Yeah. Unsolicited, Sean says, how awesome our masks are. Mm-hmm. So well made and so popular. Everybody wants to wear our mask because it is so high quality.
Yeah.
And sure enough, you know, we've got our people there. We're looking good.
Were we?
We got. Well, I saw Bud Walters was there. And we all had our, you know, a lot of people representing the mask mm-hmm. along with the gold and the Preds and everything like that. It was a great event. And how funny was it So this is the thing. If you have a mask with a logo, friends don't let friends wear the logo upside down.
And you know what? Coworkers shouldn't either.
Yes.
So Ryan Porth, who was representing well.
Yes.
I even gave him a shout out at the podium.
Yeah, thanks for that, Willie.
And yes, yeah, so maybe I did not know that Gina was there, or else I would have given her a shout out as well. So that was my
bad.
So maybe I get on the list.
Yes, you didn't see Gina in her green jacket?
I didn't see
her upside down mask.
There's a lot of people there. Game mask.
Okay, so
Ryan just he left her hanging. So we felt like Ryan definitely needs to.
I
get
also
on the list.
Before the ceremony started, Ryan and I were talking to Pred's workers, like, and they were complimenting the masks. I just, like, my mind's blown, you guys. I, like, the more I think about it, the more embarrassed I get. And I don't get embarrassed very often.
So Gina, have you guys done that? Have you guys? I have definitely taken a one with a Preds logo or whatever, something with a logo. I have put it on upside down mistakenly and not noticed. So
yeah.
that can happen for sure.
But
you just say something.
Somebody's got to give you the heads up.
Friends or people who care will say something to you and let you know.
Yeah,
right,
clearly the line has it's been drawn. I'm not Ryan's friend. And you know what? That's okay.
So I am going to say this because I'm racking my brain here. I wasn't there, but you did send me a Snapchat.
I did.
And I can't remember if it was upside down or not when you sent me that Snapchat.
I can't either. Because I don't
remember.
So I
could be a guilty party and not even realize it.
I don't remember taking it off at any point. But I do remember I put it on really fast because I was walking into the event area. But, yeah, I don't know.
Just to paint the picture on radio, this is one of those. Like I said, I don't know what the official term is. I know there. What is a gaiter? I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Sleeve. It's one of the ones that you can just slide down and hang on your neck and pull it right back up.
Well, we have two different kinds.
It's got. Yeah. But I already asked. Is it the sleeve or was it the mask one? She said it was the sleeve. So the sleeve one is got. And both the mask does too. They've got 102.5 The Game everywhere. Like it's everywhere, all over it. It's not just like one place. So you would literally be looking at 102.5 Game all over Gina's face, and it would be upside down.
Yep.
Just to paint the picture.
And it was.
Listen, I wouldn't expect anything less of Ryan, but chances are if I'd been there, I probably would have done the same thing. So.
No, I don't think you would have. It's just so on brand for Ryan. Like, what an on-brand
We still love
moment.
You, Ryan.
Yeah, love you, Ryan.
I told him I'd have his back, and I haven't really done a good job of that.
You can't, though. He's in the wrong.
Gina, more importantly, do you feel better now that you've aired this?
Oh, my gosh. A weight has been lifted off of my chest.
That's why it's therapy. This is about to put you in a right place.
This is why we do this.
A good place to go into the weekend.
Thank you for giving ranters a platform.
There you
appreciate
go.
It.
There you go. Gina, thank you. By the way, your first appearance, very good. Well
that
done.
That was good stuff.
Thank you.
Well done.
Well
thank
delivered.
You so much.
Gina Burke.
I love the imitation of Ryan.
From our staff.
I don't know.
that was good.
Pretty spot on, huh?
Thank you, Homer.
There you go. The upside down mask wear yesterday. Gina Burke. All right. 615-737-1025. Who or what has made you mad? Can anybody top Gina? Well, you can't. She's not eligible to win the prize. Let's go to Nate. Nate, who or what has made you mad?
First off, Willie, how do you feel about defenders who run the ball all the way back to the end zone after a pick or a fumble after they get tackled at, like, their own 10-yard line? It just seems like a waste of energy.
So you're saying they get stopped short of the goal line, and then they get up and keep running?
No. The defenders either take a fumble or take a pick, and they get tackled at, like, their own 10-yard line. And in celebration, the entire defense runs to the other end zone, like 90 yards. You know what I'm saying?
I have seen that. It's to get in front of the camera that has the little, like, take a picture thing.
Yeah, it just seems like a waste of energy.
Oh, it's been crazy.
But anyways, either Ryan Porth or Jared Stillman is on my list.
Ooh, a double shot, Ryan?
I don't know who, because I can't trust Jared's opinions, and I can't trust he's telling the truth. So yesterday, during the Masters readings he's doing, after it, he says Porth texted him and said Jared sounded like Jim Nance. That is completely backwards. If he sounds like Jim Nance, then I sound like Tony Romo. We need confirmation on if Porth actually texted Jared and told him he sounded like Jim Nance. He said that over the air. Jared did.
I'm going to say probably no. Now, I have heard Jared do some announcer impressions, and there are some that are good, but Jim Nance, I'm not so sure. That's a tough one to do. By the way, I'm making this declaration, Nate, because I like this. You're going to now be checks and balances, because I feel like that's what you do for this station. You are the checks and balances, because you notice these things.
C&B. Right. We're just going to call Nate Mr.
Yeah,
C&B.
You're C&B.
C&B.
Maybe I'll change my Twitter handle to B&B Nate.
There you go.
All right. Feel better?
Thanks. Yes. Thanks,
all right.
Guys.
All right. 615-737-1025. Let's go to Dan. Dan, you're up next. Who or what is on your list?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. On my list, it was kind of weighing back and forth, especially after what you announced about the UT with coaches. The first thing that I was going to call about was how the city of Nashville and the council members and the government sit there and are giving the sports teams such a hard time to go when it comes to trying to bring sports teams here to Nashville, and how they're making it difficult, whether it's stadiums or financial or whatever the case may be, when that is clearly going to give you more money and more revenue for the city itself. I just don't understand that concept. It blows my mind, and I have a business background, so.
Can you get a little bit more specific? Are you talking about MLS? Are you talking about MLB? Are you talking about NASCAR? What are you specifically talking about?
It's the combination of everything. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Mayor Cooper turned around and agreed with something when it came to the stadium for the MLS, and then all of a sudden there was different stipulations that he put out, or he backtracked and sat there and said that, no, we can't do this, we need to do it this way, or something of that nature. There's issues apparently from, I was hearing on your guys' station that NASCAR has no problem coming to the Nashville area, but for whatever reason, Nashville's having issues with it. Now we're looking to try to bring MLB into town.
Yep.
But we're having issues.
Okay. Those are certain, definitely things we've talked about for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I was gonna put that on the list, but these coaches, man, the coaches, when you said that just a few minutes ago about UT coaches, all eight coaches, am I right on that?
Eight assistants. DC, OC, offensive line coach, quarterbacks coach, inside, outside linebackers, both linebackers coach, tight ends, strength and conditioning.
That's sad. It really is. It's sad. You're failing I used to coach for a while, and you're failing your kids because of the fact that on so many different levels. One, you're not putting out producing a good team out there this year or last year. You weren't half bad last year, and you did. I give them credit; they did have a 7 or 8 game winning streak, which is like longest in the nation. But at the same time, look who you're playing. But two, at the same time, now you're refusing to take a pay cut. And that, especially in this time of day, these days that everybody, the entire world is suffering from, and that's going to hurt so many people, which in return, because they're going to have to lay off people, it's going to hurt your players. So in a roundabout way, you're actually telling your players that you don't care about them. And okay. So for that,
you just made the list.
You made my list.
All right, Dan. Hope you feel better. That was good.
Thanks,
appreciate
guys.
It. All right. 615-737-1025. Let's see. Let's go to Steve. Steve is up next on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Who or what is on your list?
Hey, good afternoon. So on my list, and I will first off say I'm sure this is one of the nicest people in the world. Never met him. Listened to him for years in the Nashville area. This is media related. But today, listening to the coach and the Titans do the presser, Mr. Terry McCormick, I don't know what it is with you and your challenges with phones or computers or whatever we're dealing with. It always seems there's like connection issues. Whenever I hear you on the station, it's always in and out and in and out. And it, you know, today it's like it came home to roost in a big way. And, you know, you had this like 30-second, 45-second delay. Hey, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Interrupting the coach. And it was just unbearable.
Who the coach said, Terry, unfortunately, we can.
Yeah, that was kind of like, oh, man, that was a shot across the bow nationwide. Anyone dialing in and listening to this thing, it was like, oh, gee. But like I said, I know he's one of the nicest guys out there, and he does a great job. But, boy, I don't know what the issue is. If he needs a new phone over all these years, it just seems like there's always something.
He needs IT.
He's trying to communicate.
Did you hear our interview to start the second hour with him?
No, I didn't get to.
Okay,
so sure
he was questioned. Yeah, we grilled him pretty hard about it. Yeah, he took his daughter's car, and, you know, clearly it's a newer car. It's got the, you know, the ability to talk in your
Bluetooth,
car. And he had real issues with the Bluetooth and trying to figure that out. So,
it's almost like bringing in a kicker on a short week that hasn't kicked for you before. It's something you shouldn't do. You shouldn't try to Bluetooth on a car you haven't done on a call like this, right?
Yeah.
So I can see how, you know, this relates to maybe what's been happening with the Titans lately.
All right, Steve, good stuff. That's good. Thank you for the call.
If you haven't seen the video, Buck Rising put it out there.
I got to see this. I haven't seen it.
Vrabel's face, it's priceless, especially when he says, unfortunately, Terry, I can't hear you. Poor Terry.
He said, yep, unfortunately, Terry, we can hear you. We go from Steve to Steven. Steven is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Who or what is on your list?
Hey, guys. As probably to be expected after last night, I'm going to put John Robinson on the list.
You just made the list!
If you look at his overall roster construction, it's been quite piss poor. He's gotten zero contributions. You guys have done an amazing job covering it, you know, this year. Zero contributions from the draft class, zero contributions from the free agents brought in. We all know Clowney, Jonathan Joseph were picks, Vrabel's guys. He wanted them in. The coach is a coach. He doesn't pick players because he sucks at picking players. In the history of the NFL, coaches who pick players typically doesn't work out. They can have input, but at the end of the day, go pick the best guy for the team, not the guy that he knows my scheme or he fits well or I can get the most out of him. Get the most out of who the guy picks. You went out and went against brand and got a guy who doesn't love football in Beasley. Got a guy who doesn't seem to love football in Isaiah Wilson. I mean, this team could be so much further if Vrabel just did a better job. He did a good job getting this team from 2 and 3 wins to 8 or 9 wins. But his roster construction, and now with the way contracts, Henry, his prime, Tannehill, his prime, by the time you fix this piss-poor defense, now you're going to have to be working on the offense. So, John Robinson, you've made my list.
You just made the list!
All right, I like the passion.
There is a good lot stuff. Of passion by Steven.
That's good.
By the way,
good.
I heard a term today listening to Robbie and Rex Road that I haven't yet, and I don't know what you guys think, but the combination of John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, now known as Vrabel, I don't know if we like that or not, but not and I don't look at it as a term of endearment either, because they both are on the list. with a lot of people.
I don't know. I don't know what that means.
Well, I think when
a
you,
term of endearment.
Yeah,
or
I don't
that's
know.
If
it's,
a shot.
I think it's just
the
term. I think you stick with it regardless of whether the stock is high or low in a given moment.
Well, I mean, they are attached. There's no doubt. I mean, this was John Robinson's handpicked guy, and that's fine. Obviously, there's been a whole lot of good in Mike Vrabel, and there's been bad that we've brought out. And you know, the whole relationship thing is tough because everybody does it. But the problem is when things are bad, it's can you pull yourself away from that relationship and separate the relationship if you're not getting the results? And, you know, we all do relationships in every facet of life. Business, you know, it's not just sports. It's not just a football team. I mean, typically people gravitate to people they have relationships or familiarity with. The question is when you go down that route and it gets sideways – and you're no longer getting the results, and you've got a group of people that everybody can see you're not getting the results out of that relationship person or that person you have familiarity with, do you have the ability to then move on? And we're about to find that out with Stephen Kuskowski, because it's very clear this is a 100% a relationship signing. And Stephen Kuskowski, before his injury problems in New England, was the best kicker in the league for a long, long time. Those days are behind him. He is no longer the best kicker in the league. He is the worst kicker in the league. And so can they now separate that relationship part and realize it's just not good enough? He's gone from the best to the worst. And how do you handle that when it's somebody that you handpicked and you have that relationship and that familiarity with? Good stuff from Steven. How about Mike and Gallatin? You're up next. Who or what is on your list?
All right, guys. So I'm going to bring us back full circle to the mask discussion that you are having just a little bit ago. So, again, I work in a restaurant on West End, and we see not just masks upside down, but the worst excuses and the worst, like, choice of mask. I say that with a question mark because how a lot of these that I've written down here in the last 2 weeks are questionable. Stuff you've probably seen before. We have the mask with the mouth cut out so you can eat. We have the.
I have not seen that.
I have not seen that.
Oh, I yeah. Literally, the mouth is cut out just for the nose. So we told them, hey, we have another mask if your mask is wrong. And they're like, oh, no, this one's perfectly fine. What else we had? The hand mask, the people that think it's okay when you come into the restaurant that, like, you're using your back of your hand as a protection. I don't know why you think that's good. I can't hear you to fix your order regardless, but yeah, you're looking like a moron. What else? The mesh mask. Hey, your mom knitted you something out of her, like, yarn in the back of her house with, like, all the grooves. It looks cool. It might have took a long time. You can't – you're still getting air through that. What else you have? Oh, somebody made one out of a cardboard box.
What?
Literally pieces of cardboard. I kid you not. It looked like they got a piece of cardboard from outside, and they just kind of, like, taped it to their mouth or something. And then a napkin as well. Like, I've seen the napkin mask, too, where they've, like, picked, like, napkins from the dispenser, and they're, like, just trying to hold it in front of their face to – act like they have a mask so that they don't have to wear one. So, full circle point, we offer free masks to anybody who doesn't have a real mask that wants to come into our restaurant. So please don't make a fool out of yourself and get put up on a meme for the rest of your life and be embarrassed from this point forward. Just accept my free mask token, and you'll save yourself from being put on the list.
Good stuff.
Like it.
This has been great.
That's
participation
today.
Let's get one. Let's sneak
a hole
one
in the
more
mask.
In
what are you doing?
I have not seen that.
Hey, I saw a guy using boxers as a mask. So.
Oh, come on. Come
that's
on.
Bad.
Yes.
Let's get one more. Stan, you'll be our final one. Stiff
Thank
competition.
You.
What do you got?
The defensive back coach for the Tennessee Titans. You just made the list. You got a quarterback. You want to force him to throw it long. When they done close-ups of him last night, throwing a little 20-yarder, it's like he was straining. Yet our defensive backs are playing 8, 9, 10 yards off the line of scrimmage. Keith Bullock is backing me on this. He said, 4th and 2, Kevin Byard, boom, 7 yards off the line of scrimmage. Sorry, guys. They got to get better.
Yep, that's what I referenced earlier. If you saw the Keith Bullock tweet, he was screaming on Twitter, what are you doing? Fourth and two, and you're playing 7 yards off him. What did he do? Basically took two steps, turned right around. Phillip Rivers hits him. First down. Gets 3 yards. First down. Keith Bullock has said, if I were playing, I would be screaming at my secondary to press and not to play that far back. We'll come back. Good stuff. We will have to think hard about a winner. There was a lot of really, really good calls. We'll come back with more of Darren, Donick, and Chase, and we'll delve a little bit deeper into that 34-17 loss. But right now I want to talk to you about that major golf tournament that's going on right now, day two of that, along with pro and college football this weekend. There will be no shortage of action. And DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook, wants to put you in the center of it all. And they plan on doing that by celebrating Sunday's action by ensuring that all new users are going to be covered up to $100. That's right. You bet. They cover you risk-free on your Sunday betting up to $100. That's DraftKings. They will have special promotions and odds boost every day of the big tournament in Augusta, Georgia. You'll download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use the promo code 1025GAME when you sign up to ensure your Sunday bets will be covered up to $100. That code again, 1025GAME. During sign-up for a limited time, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older. Tennessee only. Risk-free coverage paid out in site credits. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and needs help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. We'll get you another leaderboard from the Masters update before we get out of here this hour. Don't forget, this weekend, we're going to be your place for all the coverage. Yep, Saturday and Sunday, we'll have updates continue throughout the course of today. But Saturday and Sunday, 94.9 will broadcast the Masters live both days. And all that coverage will be brought to you by Music City Golf Store in Bellmead for all your golfing needs. Like I said, we'll get you another leaderboard update before we get out of here this hour. But right now we must talk about the carnage and wreckage that was a 34-17 loss to the hand of the Colts yet again. The Colts, who absolutely own the Titans since they've been in Nashville. Now 5-14, 19 times they've met in Nashville, and the Colts have come away with wins 14 of those 19 times. And it just continues to boggle the mind. You see that in college football a lot. Obviously, Tennessee's had their woes with Florida. Tennessee's had their – they have destroyed Kentucky over the years and had their way with Kentucky for long, long stretches. Certainly, Vanderbilt has that. You can name all those long streaks where – a team, for whatever reason, a school has owned another school for a long period of time in college. Rarely do you see it in the pros, but that is not the case here. The Colts have just continued to dominate the Titans. And then if you go bigger picture, just overall, like all their meetings over the years since the Titans have been in Nashville, it is amazing how lopsided it is and how it favors Indianapolis. And now the Colts are in the lead in the AFC South. And, oh, by the way, these two teams will meet again for the second time in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and just to add to that, Phillip Rivers, too.
Yeah, I think he's 8-2 now overall against the Titans.
Yeah, I mean, he's had their number. So it's even bigger with just how that, you know, the matchup between the Titans and the Colts and then now the quarterback. And, you know, we've been breaking all of this down that, you know, the first half, that first drive, okay, you felt good. And then even starting the second half, the stop that the Titans had on fourth down, you're still thinking, all right, maybe the momentum is going in the Titans' favor. They can march downfield. They can put this one away. And then the special teams woes rear their ugly head for the Titans, and it all just spirals out of control from there. And with the deficiencies that they have on defense – you can't have those types of blunders on special teams and even offense and expect the defense to pick up for it. It's just not going to happen. The defense is just simply not that good. That's where the term complementary football comes into play, And the Titans simply don't have that right now. And, you know, what you brought up earlier about long drives and times of possession, I agree with that. You got to have some sustainable drives. If you get in the end zone, great. But the defense, you know, that's where the defense comes into play of they, you know, they're going to let the other team have long drives, and that's where it hurts you. So I think you and Willie were both right with what we started the show on, and it's just all piling up. And Mike Vrabel doesn't seem to have answers for it right now, and that's going to be his job to figure out with this long weekend.
Well, reviewing what we said earlier, the issue with the defense, and this ties in with Keith Bullock's frustration. You heard one of the callers say, you know, when they're playing soft, right, this is what has been happening. They've been giving up a lot of long drives. The Colts' first five drives of the game, 11 plays, 8 plays, 13 plays, 15 plays. Now, two of them ended on the Titans getting clutch stops on fourth down. That's great, but it just takes its toll. You know, you got to get worn out when you're on the field that many times. And essentially, the Titans' defense never stopped the Colts because the next couple of drives were touchdown drives of 4 plays, short fields on both of them, and they never forced the Colts to punt until the game was out of control. But I'd like to go back, and this is something maybe we'll do for next week, is count up the number of double-digit drives the Titans' defense has been on the field for. But I think the dilemma is when you don't have your fastest defensive back in Jackson, you don't have Christian Fulton, they are choosing not to get beat deep. They don't have a pass rush, and so they're just getting picked apart. And the other thing that's not happening, how many times do you see a pass go underneath? Let's say it's 2nd and 8. A pass is thrown underneath, and you think, run up and tackle him. Hold him to 2 or 3 yards, and the guy is able to drag and get closer to the sticks to where maybe he doesn't get the first down, but it ends up being 3rd and 2 or 3rd and 1. It just seems like that is happening a lot. So part of the bend but don't break has to be that you run up and tackle, and you're a sound tackling. But they gave up a lot of yards after the catch last night, right? Is that fair to say? So a lot of the elements that you need when you're playing bend but don't break just aren't there.
Darren, what was that stat you gave yesterday after Willie left? I mean, the Titans had been good about
yards after catch.
Yeah.
They were best. They were really good. I mean, it's like accounting. It's how you choose to look at it.
Right.
They've actually been very good at yards after catch. They had one of the lowest in the league at like 4.2. The league average is 5.1. yards after catch, and they were actually, I think, tied for the best in the league of yards after catch. But, you know, it's once again, it's how you choose to look at it. Okay, that's fine, but obviously you're not doing something right when all these other things are happening. To me, it's like they really struggle with a guy like Hines, right? That's something they really don't have. And when have they ever really had a guy like that, right? A guy who can be such a weapon in both running and catching.
Well, they've
struggled against guys like that. And Hines I thought Hines tore them apart last night.
That might have been Hines' best game. What was interesting is he's been a good receiver out of the backfield, and he did that last night. But he usually isn't a guy that gets to run it very much. He ran the ball better than he has and more than he has. And that is another part of what has been really troublesome of the Titans defense. They're getting run on. You know, take the Bengals game and that game last night. Those are two teams, the Bengals and the Colts, that have not run the ball very well. And yet they were able to run it very effectively to set up what they got in the passing game. So I know that has got to be eating at Mike Vrabel. When they struggled last year, I didn't remember them having as much trouble stopping the run.
They're letting basically anybody they play look good on offense. Chicago is dreadful, and they did things, you know, in the second half when they started coming back and making it a game. You know, Nick Foles, who's
and that was
terrible.
Probably their best performance. That was probably the Titans' best defensive performance other than the Bills game.
Yeah, and right? Chicago's dreadful, and they were able to start doing things on him in the second half. Indianapolis, as you said, they have not been able to run the ball. By the way, Jonathan Taylor, just non-factor again. Just
What
do you have, seven carries for
12 yards?
12 yards, 1.7 yards per carry. Just, you know, all the hype about Jonathan Taylor. I mean, it's kind of interesting. It's like everybody thought they drafted Jonathan Taylor. All the stuff you read was to kind of like push Marlon Mack, who's rushed for over 1,000 yards the last 2 years, kind of out of the way. It was going to be Jonathan Taylor and not Mack. And, boy, ever since – I mean, Mack went down at the beginning, and they haven't had him all year. They just – they haven't been able to do anything in running the ball. Well, that wasn't a problem last night. They were able to move the ball last night. But that is the problem. Everybody's able to do that on the Titans. And I just – you know, going back to – the head coach saying we got to play better, coach better. Well, that stuff has been said all year long. And there's now a body of work of 9 games where you're past the midway point of the season. And it's just hard to believe that any of this is going to change. I don't care about, you know, a player maybe coming back. Or there's also players that are going to go away. So you're going to lose players. Or there's players that are going to start playing through injuries. I mean, quite honestly, I mean, with, you know, we knew Clowney was probably going to play because he was a full participant practice. We know he's dealing with an injury, but I actually thought he was effective last night.
You could argue that was his best game.
I was just about to say that. I think it might have been his best game since he's been with the Titans. I mean, the thing about the personnel that this team has on defense now, is it, you know, are they the best, the elite of the elite? No, but I do think they have some good players. I go back to a conversation we had a few weeks ago. You know, is it the personnel or is it the scheme? And if you have, like Darren, you pointed out, if you have Keith Bullock saying on Twitter that they're playing off as much as they are on fourth down, and you have others that are noticing things like that, and they keep doing the same things over and over again, and it's not working, well, to me, that's not all on the personnel. That's the scheme, and the scheme is needing to change. And is that, if Vrabel's the defensive coordinator, then that's how you have to look at it, that you look at him and go, all right, well, you need to change your scheme in the way, because it's not working with these players. It's the classic coach of, I need these players to fit with my scheme. No, you need to make your scheme fit with your players, and I don't feel like that's happening.
You just have to hope that there's a better formula out there, and they just keep searching and searching and find something. It will definitely help if and when they get Adoree Jackson and Christian Fulton back on the field, just to have more speed. I've heard Floyd harp on this a lot, is that you saw it last night, when they play man-to-man coverage and you don't get a great pass rush, guys like Phillip Rivers are just really good at finding the weak matchup, right? They just look around, who's got the best matchup? He spread the ball to how many different receivers last night? A ton, right? Probably 8 in the first half. And it's just, hey, I have a chance to let this play develop. I know I'm going to have time, and I'll just find the weak link. And when you don't have much speed, you know, they've moved on from Jonathan Joseph. He was an example. But they just don't have enough guys who can cover. Malcolm Butler's doing his job. Right, it's not always the top name guy that's having the big game. It's other guys that are making key contributions because they have a good matchup against a guy who's a borderline player in the league.
Here's something that's starting to really, really concern me. And we've talked about this. I understand why they're doing it, because there's a number that shows us over the years that it's not good when your running back gets to this number. It's not good moving forward. They tend to break down the rest of their career. They're never the same after a certain amount of carries or touches, where, you know, you just use them so much, and moving forward after that, there's just a whole lot of data that shows us they're never the same. Well, they were using Derrick Henry a ton when they were 5-0 in the first 5 games. He had 31 carries, 25 carries, 26 carries, 19 in the Buffalo game. That's because the Buffalo game got away from them, and they got away from Buffalo, and they were in control, and they didn't feel the need to use him. 22 carries against Houston. Now, since the losses have come, 20 against Pittsburgh, 18 against Cincinnati, 21 against Chicago, 19 against Indianapolis. four of those, or three of the four, resulted in losses. The carries and the workload has gone down on Derrick Henry, and I wonder if this offense can really be effective if they're not running Derrick Henry like they normally did. The playoffs, the end of the season, regular season, and the playoffs last year, it was Derrick Henry heavy, and they became very successful. If they're not Derrick Henry heavy, can this offense still be very successful?
Well, as you know, I track this stuff close, right? We talked about this a lot, and I think it's a huge dilemma that you're in because in the moment, as we've said, he's your horse. He's the guy, or Tony Dungy calls him the dump truck, right? You want to go to him every play because he makes everything happen. But if you go to that well too many times, there is going to be a drop-off long-term. We said it last week at the halfway point. He had 182 carries. That's the most by far that he's ever had in the first half of any season. 31 more to be exact, than last year at this point. You want to make sure you have him sustained. I would say this, Darren. Last night and in the Bears game the week before, they could have given it to him more, but they felt like for different reasons it wasn't worth it. They felt like against the Bears, they had enough of a lead that they definitely could have handed it to him and probably run the clock out and maybe busted down the door. Maybe he even breaks a big one, and he would have had the 25 or 26 carries. They elected to take him out of the game and run Foreman and McNichols. They got a three and out. The Bears went and made it a little closer than maybe that final score should have indicated. Last night, after they missed the field goal, and then the Colts went down and scored to make it 34-17, they took Derrick Henry out of the game. He was running the ball great, 19 carries for 103. But when you're down 34-17 with 9 minutes and 21 seconds to go, is it really worth giving it to him five or six more times? No, I think you preserve that and save those bullets for when you need them. I think when the time comes, there will be the game where he's going to need to run it 25, 30 times, and I think they'll give it to him. Well, but I think it's smart to be thinking about short-term and long-term and balancing the two.
Yeah, and I think they are. I mean, I think they're certainly trying to look down the road of when they're going to need him more. But what's telling is we use the phrase, he's the catalyst. Well, he is. And that's where the rest of the offense is going to have to get better. I mean, we haven't even really talked about this today, but there were some drops last night that you simply cannot have.
Let's just get out of the elite receiver, and elite receivers don't drop balls like that. Like, A.J. Brown is the number one receiver on this roster.
That was six.
He is impressive, but he's still got work to do. Like, I think it's a little premature for all this elite receiver talk that we've heard. Look, elite receivers, the last couple weeks of, there were a couple drops last night, and that one in particular, that puts you up 14-0.
Exactly. And Tannehill missed a couple of throws, too, where he was a little ahead
or behind.
Jonnu
Smith.
Yep, Jonnu Smith. Furkser, now, Furkser was
defending. What's going on with Furkser?
I know.
He used to be a magnet for the ball. He was like a refrigerator. The ball was a magnet, and now all of a sudden, Furkser's slipping and falling and dropping. Yep. What's going on with him?
I don't know.
I think he's been playing in a little bit of a higher role because he's doing well. He's probably getting a little bit more attention for both of those reasons. In other words, you don't have Humphreys, right? You don't have Michael Pruitt, so Jonnu Smith hasn't been as much of a factor. I think there's a little bit of a domino effect on that. But I do think that A.J. Brown is the guy that's good enough to be able to still produce. He had one catch, and it was on the first drive. And so he's one for four. And even the week before, he had four catches for over 100 yards. He won the game for him on that great touchdown catch, which was a great throw. But he was 4 out of 9 targets. So the efficiency hasn't been quite as good for him. That's a little bit mystifying. But
whereas Corey Davis caught everything that was thrown his way last night, just about.
Yeah, so the pattern continues that when Davis has a good game, Brown tends to not. So yeah. It's weird, and vice versa, right? When Brown has the big game, Davis doesn't seem to get it. So there's still a lot to work on the offense. It's hard to have a lot of complaints offensively.
Yeah, but
because overall
to...
it's been good. But when you're trying to figure out how do you continue to be productive the way you need to be when you're facing great defenses, because the next couple weeks, get used to it. You're facing another great defense in the Ravens, and then you got to face the Colts again.
But that's the point, because they can't rely on Derrick Henry every play. I mean, they're going to have to, you know, get over these cases of the dropsies or overthrowing receivers. I mean, right now, every team in the league looks at the Titans and they go, yeah, well, 22, that's who you have to shut down. Darren, you asked me the question yesterday, okay, who if you're the Colts, who are you keying in on? Well, of course it's Derrick Henry. It's going to be Derrick Henry for a long time until the Titans prove that, yeah, even if he's on the sideline, you still have to worry about this offense making plays. And they have.
But
they just have to get back to that.
But you know what was maybe the most encouraging thing that I thought of last night is that they did run the ball well against the Colts. 19 carries for 103 for Henry. That's a pretty good night. And, you know, and that's with him basically not being a part of the offense in the fourth quarter. So I think you take that in your back pocket. For a Colts rushing defense that was averaging 3.3 yards against per carry, they ran it perfectly well against the Colts. So that should set the, that at least gives you a foundation to where you hope it could be better the next time they play.
Had a buddy of mine just text me who knows the game very well because he played it at a high level, the highest level. Said Firkser is playing with no confidence right now. His body is trying to catch the ball instead of his hands. Just wanted to pass along.
Another thing that's a very good point.
Another thing that's concerning to me is, what is this offensive line going to be like moving forward? Tannehill got beat up more than he's been beat up this whole season. They may not have sacked him a ton, but they got to him.
He got hit.
And he got hit a lot. And I'm starting to really get concerned that I know it's not just because of this, but the losses, the opponents have gotten better. The losses are starting to mount without their stalwart left tackle.
Yeah, I'm concerned about
Saffold. That's starting Saffold to be too. Concerning. And
Saffold looked like he was playing on one leg last night after he got rolled up. You guys saw that.
Ben Jones kind of got banged up too.
Yeah, this is what happens over the long haul. You gotta hope that they hold up. But you're right; he's not maybe having quite as much time to throw, which probably contributes to some of what we're talking about here in the passing game.
Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, to kick off the final hour. That's next.